If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
So in Jeremiah, we learn that God has a plan for us. And here's what he says. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts to bless you, to prosper you, to give you hope. We need hope today. I can look in some of your faces and you look hopeless. You just received a slip to get laid off. You just found out a bad medical report. You just found out something negative is about to come into your world, and you've lost your hope. But God says, my plans are designed to give you hope. I want you to realize that Jesus is still Lord, even if you get a negative doctor's report. I want you to know he's still Lord, even if they're about to lay you off. Now you say, hold it, Pastor. Why is that important? Because if anything happens to dethrone him as Lord, then you have no hope. But if he's the same Lord who ruled over my life during good times, then he's ruling over my life during challenging times. All I have to change is how I speak about the situation. Now I know, based on the laws of grief and processing negative, I know that you are tempted to speak about a negative situation with some anger and some hostility. All right, do it for the first 5 minutes, get it out of your system, and then shift over to, but God says. Always remember that everything man gives you is temporary. Paul says whatever comes in the natural is temporary. The King James uses the word temporal. It means it won't stay forever. The Bible says these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, what you have to learn to do is turn it back to a moment. Don't let a bad diagnosis be the rest of your life. If you have to take some pills for a while, take them for a while, but say, by stripes I'm healed. You start doing what's necessary to change that thing around. Why? It's not the Lord's will that you be on that stuff forever. Bad stuff happens. But look through your Bible and find the will of God. Satan, where have you been? Walking up and down the earth and back and forth. Have you considered my servant Job? Yes. You got a hedge around him. How do you know I have a hedge around him? I tried and I couldn't get to him. He said, and I watched his life, and I see how he blesses you and praises you, but he's only doing it because you've given him all that stuff. God says, I know more about him than you do. Go ahead and take his stuff. Say it with me. Take my stuff. Don't say it if you don't mean it, though. Take my stuff. God said, I'm going to take your stuff. He told the devil, go ahead. You can have his stuff, but you can't touch him. What is God saying? Don't worry about your stuff. I gave you stuff, and I can give you stuff again. But it's the stuff that's in you that I'm concerned about. Because if the stuff that's in you is right, when you lose the stuff around you, the stuff in you will help you stand. And you'll be able to stand whatever the devil throws against you. If you lose your car, it's all right. Take the bus with joy. The devil came down. God said, go ahead. I love this passage. Because I want you to know, I want you to master, I want you to live in the realm that makes you understand that whenever the devil comes against you, it's with God's permission. I'm going to tell you that when my godson was swimming and he was swimming with me and he would jump into the pool and I would stand by the side of the pool and I would watch him do those cannonballs in that pool, I never jumped in after him. You know why? Because I had already looked into the water and I saw it wasn't deep enough to kill him. So like a father, I was just standing there making sure he had a good time. I want to tell you today that God sees you jumping into situations and it may look like he ain't doing nothing, but that's because he's already surveyed it and he knows it won't break you down. He knows it might make you cry, but you ain't going backslide. God knows what you're going through. So you might as well throw 3 John 2 at it. Prosper and be in health. There's a crazy, crazy roller coaster down in Universal in Orlando. If you ever rode the Hulk, it comes out of the chute like 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. When I ride that thing with the boys, they put me up front. And I can't show them that I'm scared. I ain't 20 no more. I got mortgage to pay. And I'm sitting up there with Darius and Malik. They going, come on, come on. And we get up in there, and that thing shoots out, and the centrifugal force holds your head back. And then it starts into its turn, and I start yelling. Now, I don't want them to know that I'm yelling for anxiety. So I start acting like I'm an F-14 pilot. Woo! Shoot it down! Shoot it down! Woo! And they ain't even yelling because they're teenagers. They have not yet formulated fear. But I don't want them to know. So what is God saying? When you get to a situation where you feel that the enemy's going to throw fear, yell. Yell. It's called halal praise. Only God knows you're afraid. Don't let the devil know you're afraid. Let him know you're yelling. Give him the same praise that you give God. Go on and yell anyway, because the walls of Jericho cannot come down unless you yell. When you hit a negative situation, you say, God, I know you have the best in store for me. I don't like it. I don't understand it, but bless the Lord, oh my soul. Yell. We ought to be the loudest, noisiest people on this planet. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. When you get into a negative situation, when you get a bad medical report, don't let the devil keep you down. Praise the Lord. Moses went to God and he said, these people want meat. You send in manna, they want meat. God said, I'm going to send them so much meat, it's going to come out their nose. Yeah. Moses said, we got 600,000 men beside women and children. Yeah. He said, if we killed every critter we had, we wouldn't have enough. The King James says, is the Lord's hand short that it cannot save? But in other translations, it says, when have I become weak? I hear God asking that to the church today. Every one of us, if you name the name of Christ, you are under attack. If you're sitting in this church and you belong to Jesus, the devil is attacking you. You are not exempt. But I want to tell you, greater is he that's in you. And when did his hand become short? When did God become weak? When he stands up in us and fights for us, you get what's called a testimony. Now, there's some of you in here, bless your hearts, I love you dearly, but you don't have a testimony. You cannot help me if you don't have a testimony. You just one of them book Christians. You just got a whole lot of stuff in your library. I need me some scarred up Christians. Some Christians that have even wondered if God loved them. I need me some Christians that wouldn't read their Bible for 5 days because they're angry with God, but they're still in here with their hands up, still giving God praise. Because God kept you even when you thought that you were about to be crushed. Let me tell you, God will step in because it's his will that you prosper and be in health. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Somebody ought to dance. Well, what is he doing? What is he doing? What is he doing? In Genesis chapters 1 through 3, we find the creation story and what happened subsequent to that. But every time God made something, he uses a phrase, and God said it was good. God gave man life. So therefore, life was God put man on the planet, and the planet was then he surrounded him with the trees, and the trees were good. So everything God made was good. Mice were good. Roaches were good. Rats were good. Everything was good. So now God, when Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to destroy. The King James says, I've come to fulfill it. In the Greek context, it's saying I've come to fill it in full. In other words, the law creates gaps. because it doesn't tell you how to obey. It just tells you you should. So the frustration comes when you try to please God from the flesh. So Jesus comes and says, you can't please God from the flesh. I'm going to show you how to please God. He begins to tell us that if we love one another, we please God. Watch this. If I love God, I won't take his name in vain. If I love God, I won't try to work 7 days a week. If I love God, I'll come together to worship him. But then if I love you, I won't kill you. If I love you, I won't lie on you. If I love you, I won't covet what you have. If I love my parents, I'll obey them. If my parents love me, they won't provoke me. Are you getting my drift? So Jesus took the law, which was perfect, and said, but imperfect people can't keep it. So the glue that ties us to it is love. So the love fulfills all of the law and the prophets. Lord, help me. All you got to do is love. All you got to do is love. And so he came to fill it in full. So when Jesus comes, the world is lying in the lap of the devil. The world is literally run by Satan because Adam forfeited it to the devil. So God, by rights, couldn't do as much as he could have because the world had been forfeited over to the devil, and God honors his rules. But when Jesus came, the second Adam, he picked up the ball that the first Adam dropped and finished the race. Then he died because a testament needs the death of the testator. And so when he died, that empowers the New Testament. But then he does something that a dead person can't do. He got up from the dead to make sure you were getting your full privileges, to make sure you were getting your rights. But when Jesus died, and the devil thought, well, I can go to those who follow him and tell them that they don't have a right to be well, that they don't have a right to be prosperous, and nobody will be able to stop me. He looked over his shoulder, and he heard keys rattling. Jesus was behind the devil shaking keys. The devil said, what is that racket? He turned around and saw the lion of the tribe of Judah. He saw the Alpha and the Omega, saying, I am he that was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore, and my children are going to get everything that's in this book. So you tell the devil, by his stripes I'm healed. You tell the devil that I am prosperous. You tell the devil that I am victorious. You tell the devil that I am more than a conqueror. You tell the devil that joy is my birthright. You tell the devil that I shall live and not die. You tell the devil that my children are blessed. You tell the devil that the works of my hands have been blessed. You tell him he's a liar.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
07415P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord.